May 26, 1927. How God, in creation, formed many rooms in order to dwell in them, so as to let himself always be found by man in order to give him his qualities. A doubt that Jesus solves. How what seems difficult to the soul is easy for God. Laments of the soul. Jesus reassures her. My state of abandonment in the divine fiat continues. And after having followed it in its acts in creation, I was thinking of how to reorder again, before the Supreme Majesty, all the relations between Creator and creature, that human ingratitude had broken. And my adored Jesus, coming out of my interior, told me, my daughter, look at the whole creation, the heavens, the innumerable stars, the sun, the wind, the sea, the flowery fields, the mountains and the valleys. These are all rooms that I formed. And in each room I formed my royal palace to make of it my dwelling. And this, in order to make it easier for man, so that wherever he wanted to come to find his God, I would give him the chance to find him immediately and everywhere. And he placed himself in each room in the act of waiting for him, leaving all the rooms open, so as not to give him the bother of having to knock, but so that he might enter freely as many times as he wanted, he would be ready to receive him. The Creator of heaven and earth did not place himself at one point only but everywhere, so that man might find him always. And he placed these rooms so close to each other so as to form many shortcuts, because between Creator and creature there is to be no distance, but closeness and communion. So, all these rooms were, and are, relations, bonds and ways between God and man. But who was to maintain these relations in force, strengthen these bonds, order the ways, open the doors? Our will reigning in man would take on this commitment so important, of maintaining the order of all creation, just as we issued it. As he withdrew from the divine fiat, the relations were no longer in force, the bonds were loosened, the ways barred, the doors closed. He lost his dear inheritance, he remained stripped of all goods. Each step was a lace at his feet, to make him fall. By not doing our will, one loses everything and there is no good left to him. While by doing it, one acquires everything and there is no good that is not given back to him. What did the paternal goodness of the Creator not do in creation for love of man? He not only formed many rooms, but each different from the other, so as to let himself be found in many different ways by him whom he loved. In the sun he would let himself be found invested with light, all majesty, burning with love, waiting for him in order to give him his light so as to let himself be comprehended, to give him his love, so that by entering into this room to find his God, man might become light and love. In the sea he would let himself be found as the strong God, to give him strength. In the wind he would let himself be found ruling and dominating, to give him rule and dominion. In sum, in each created thing he waited for man, to give him the participation in his qualities. After this, I was thinking to myself, Jesus loves his will so much, and it seems that he so much yearns for it to be known, so that it may dominate and reign. But it seems difficult to me that the divine will may be known, because there is no one who occupies himself with it, nor is anyone interested. All the interest is of Jesus, but in creatures it does not exist. So, if these creatures neglect to give this great glory to God as well as to hold out the fullness of all goods to creatures, how can the kingdom of the eternal fiat ever become known? Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, what seems difficult to you is not difficult for God, just as in redemption there were no difficulties for God, nor could all the human perfidy hinder the course of our love, and even less the fulfillment of our decision to come to redeem mankind. When the divinity decides to do an act, to accomplish a work, whatever the causes, the circumstances, the impediments might be, it triumphs of everything, it conquers everything, and it does what it has established. So, the culminating and important point for God is in establishing what he wants to do. Once he has done this, he has done everything. Therefore, if in us it is established that our will must be known and that its kingdom will come upon earth, it is as though already done. Just as redemption was accomplished, because it was established by us, so it will be done for our will. More so, since this, its kingdom, was issued by the divinity and creation fully in order, so that it might reign and dominate. And with the fall of man this kingdom was not destroyed, but remained intact and it still exists. Only, it remained suspended from man. In redemption I smoothed everything out, and just as I did everything so that man might be redeemed, so I did everything so that this suspension be removed, and the creature might enter into the kingdom of the divine fiat first, giving place to redemption, and then, with time, giving place to my will. So, what is difficult is to form a kingdom, a work. But once it is done, it becomes easy to make it known. More so, since your Jesus does not lack power, I may lack wanting to do or not do a work, but power I never lack. I will dispose things, circumstances, creatures, events, in such a way as to make it easy for my will to become known. Then, I felt all afflicted and I thought to myself, how hard is my state, I feel I cannot go on. The divine will is inexorable, immutable, and having to deal with the fiat is no joke. One feels all the weight of its immutability, and one remains immutable with its immutability, impassive to everything. It puts one in the condition of wanting whatever it wants, be they even chastisements, or the very privations of Jesus that cost me so much. Of all that it wants, it grants everything. But of what the soul wants it concedes nothing, not even one comma. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, my will wants to be free in the soul, and therefore it does not want to concede even one point or one comma of what she wants, be it even a holy thing. It does not want to find limits in her. It wants to extend its dominion in everything. It wants that what my will wants and does, the soul must want and do as well. Therefore, it makes her feel all the weight of its immutability, so as to render her immutable, in such a way that she must not be subject to changing because she sees creatures suffer, or because she sees them without some temporary good, or because she wants to give it. This would be going out of its immutability. This is human sanctity. The sanctity of my will is divine sanctity, and does not admit these weaknesses. If my divine will were subject to this, our justice would have to be without life in our Supreme Being, which cannot be. If you knew at what point our justice finds itself in these times, and if it wanted to unload itself completely over you, you would remain crushed. And my will does not want to crush you, but wants that creatures have their penalty and part. Also to make them open their eyes from the great blindness into which they have fallen. Almost all nations live relying on debts. If they do not make debts, they cannot live. And in spite of this they celebrate, they spare themselves nothing, and are making plans of wars, incurring enormous expenses. Do yourself not see the great blindness and madness into which they have fallen? And you, little child, would want my justice not to strike them, and to be lavish with temporal goods. So, you would want them to become more blind and more insane. And in seeing that all your requests are not granted, you'll lament. And in feeling that my will has taken its place in all of your soul, leaving you no freedom in anything, you feel the power of the sanctity and immutability of my divine will. And besides, I have told you many times that the privations of me are nothing other than voids that my justice is forming in order to strike the peoples. Therefore, my daughter, do not lose heart. You do not know how much I love you, and how many treasures I have placed in you. Nor can I leave you. I must guard all the gifts I have placed in you. You must know that each one of my words is a divine gift, and how many of them have I spoken to you? And when I give, I never take the gift back. And to be sure that my gifts are safe, I remain as guardian of my gifts and of the soul who possesses them. Therefore, let me do, and let my will reign freely in you. Deo gratias.